Well, good evening, everybody, and a very warm welcome to Arborfield Church this evening and our candlelit carols service. It's great to be able to welcome you. If we haven't met before, my name's Andy, and I'm the minister here at Arborfield. As we begin, just a few practicalities. We'll remain seated during the readings and the talk, but then stand during the carols, and please do join in the singing if you so wish. Everything you need is on the server sheet, but you might be struggling to see that in the light conditions. Everything will also be on the screen. But as I say, readings, carols, everything sort of happens unannounced, apart from this first little bit. So do just follow along. But as we begin, let me lead us in a short prayer. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather together this evening, we pray that you would prepare our hearts to hear again in word and song the good news of your redeeming love made known to us in the birth of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to begin with our first carol. It's Once in Royal David's City. Can I invite you all, please, to stand, but not to sing the first verse, because that's going to be a solo from Sophie. But if we get to our feet now, it helps with the lead-in to verse 2. So, Once in Royal David's City.
Once in royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ a little child.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Second reading is from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace.
The third reading is taken from Matthew 1, 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you.
when I was growing up, for a number of years, at around about this sort of time on a Sunday evening, more often than not, I'd be watching telly. And more often than not, I'd find myself watching the Antiques Roadshow. I think, thinking back, I think that's because there wasn't much else on TV at the time. And I had no particular interest in art or antiquities or family heirlooms as such. Now, I dare say some people watch it, it's very popular, and they watch it because they are interested in those things and are quite knowledgeable about those things. I just watched it to see if the stuff was worth a lot of money. And sometimes on the Antiques Roadshow, a sculpture, a bowl, a rug, or a painting that looks quite commonplace, well, is just that. It's very ordinary. But you may also know that over the years, a number of high-value items have been unearthed. One such example is this indoor plant pot. It was picked up as a job lot for 100 quid, only it wasn't any old plant pot. It had spent much of its life being used as a makeshift goalpost in the dining room for the children. But it turns out it was a bronze and enamel French jardiniere, which sold for over £500,000 10 years ago. Or take this paperweight, sat on a school headmaster's desk for a number of years in Cornwall, but it was actually a sculpture by the artist Barbara Hepworth, valued at £700,000. Now, whilst you may not have discovered any priceless heirlooms whilst dragging out the Christmas decorations this year, I want to suggest that there's a treasure waiting for us in the Bible passage we're going to spend a few minutes looking at together this evening. It's printed on the service sheet. It'll come up on the screen in just a moment. And as you'll see, it's got nothing to do with plant pots or paperweights. It's actually got quite a lot more to do with pigeons. Now, I don't know a lot about pigeons. I do know they enjoyed eating our freshly sown grass all this summer in our garden. And I understand they've got a rather remarkable sense of direction. They can find their way home. It's certainly much better than mine. The other thing I know about pigeons is that they appear briefly in an event that took place 1 month or so after the birth of Jesus. So it's there on the sheet, it's up on the screen. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 2. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he'd been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So Jesus, having been born in Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph, well, they then make their way up to Jerusalem to do what the Old Testament required of them, to make an offering at the temple following the birth of their son. I guess we're already pretty familiar, perhaps, with the humble circumstances into which Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. No room at the inn, so born in a stable or shed, laid in an animal feeding trough, a manger. But 40 days on, here at the temple, we're given another reminder of just how humble Jesus' circumstances were. You see, whereas Jesus' postnatal care was in part down to a lack of availability, The census decreed by Caesar Augustus meant that everyone was heading home to register, and so demand far outstripped supply, even in the backwater of Bethlehem. But here at the temple, 40 days later, this offering of two pigeons or doves, well, they're much more plant pot value than French jardiniere. You see, the law required that an offering be made at the temple following the birth of your son. So they've travelled this distance to present the offering at the temple in Jerusalem, two doves or two pigeons. Now, this might all seem rather trivial to us today, but it's included by Luke for a reason. You see, in the Old Testament, that's the first half of our Bibles, we read what God's law required in a book called Leviticus. And it says, following the birth of a son, the parents are to bring to the priest a one-year-old lamb and one pigeon or dove. That was the offering they were supposed to be making that day, a lamb and a pigeon or dove. But Leviticus continues, if you cannot afford a lamb, you're to bring two doves or pigeons. So the law required a lamb, but for those who couldn't afford it, there was the two pigeon option. Now, of course, every parent wants to do all they can for their children, make sure they have all they need as they grow up. No doubt Joseph and Mary wanted to do the best they could for their son too. But they couldn't afford the lamb. So they walk into the temple carrying Jesus with one arm and two pigeons with the other. And everyone who was there would have known what was going on that day. Ah, they can only afford the two pigeon option. And so what we have here is another picture of the very humble circumstances into which Jesus was born and lived. And that is perhaps the most remarkable thing about Christmas. There's lots that's enjoyable at Christmas time, of course there is. But when we consider the birth of Jesus and the circumstances into which he was born, the remarkable thing is that Jesus came into our world, and in doing so, he clearly humbled himself. In another book in the New Testament called Hebrews, it begins by telling us some remarkable things about Jesus. That Jesus was the one through whom the universe was made. That Jesus is the one who sustains all things. That Jesus is the very Son of God, the radiance of God's glory. That is to say, all the glory of God is packed into the person of Jesus. So as light radiates from the sun, so the glory of God radiates from Jesus. Jesus is God. And yet when he came into the world, his parents could only afford the two pigeon sacrifice. And this humility is how God has chosen to be at work in our world. Jesus wasn't locked away in a pearl palace with a silver spoon in his mouth, protected from all life's trials and difficulties. No, no. He lived as one of us, humbling himself, and in so doing, well, experiencing all the joys and the pains of what it is to be human. And this means that whatever you and I face in life, Jesus understands. He gets it. He himself lived and breathed the full gamut of human experience and emotion, happiness and heartache. Just think of the family arguments that will take place again this Christmas. Recollections may vary, but the pain is felt by all. Well, Jesus understands. Mental anguish, bereavement, betrayal, Jesus has been there himself. Being misunderstood or falsely accused or just plain ignored, well, Jesus has been there too. National turmoil, political confusion, religious unrest, fear over the future, Jesus has been there. Whatever it is, Jesus understands our situation. But if Jesus means we're humble, what about his mission? Well, we're given some big hints in our passage. The law of the Lord, the law of Moses, is mentioned a number of times in just a few verses. And it's highlighting how from the very beginning of Jesus' life, he's in fulfilling what the law of God says. And that is very significant. Because Jesus' perfect law-keeping, even when he's 40 days old, is one of the things that makes it possible for Jesus to do what he does. And what he does is there for us in verse 21. You see, when he was just 8 days old, the child was given the name Jesus. It's the name the angel had given him when speaking to Joseph, and the angel tells us why he's to be called Jesus. We had it in our reading from Matthew earlier. Call him Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. So Jesus came humbly to earth to do perfectly what the law requires. He thought these things were neither below him nor beyond him. And he did it so he could then trade places with me and you to save us from the consequences of our own law breaking, our own wrong doing before God, to pay the penalty for our sin, because he had no penalty to pay for his own. See, whilst we share much in common with Jesus and his human nature, in one way he is utterly unique, for he always perfectly obeyed God. He never disobeyed, never ignored, never thought he knew better. So the fact that Jesus came into this world and kept God's law in every way, that's not an insignificant detail. It is central to who he is. It's not just saying, oh, Jesus was a good little boy, Santa would be happy. No. Jesus came and was without sin, so he could bear our sin on the cross. He could bear the consequences of our law-breaking once and for all time in order to save us. That's why he's called Jesus. We were just singing, weren't we, that Jesus is the one that hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with his blood mankind hath bought. Well, as I draw to a close, let me finish with a question. This Christmas time, can we see past the baby, the manger, the parents with just two pigeons? Earlier this year, Classic FM website ran a story about a violinist called Joshua Bell, who, as I understand it, is widely recognised as one of the finest talents in the classical musical world. In fact, according to his own website, it says, with a career spanning almost four decades, Grammy Award-winning violinist Joshua Bell is one of the most celebrated artists of his era. Having performed with virtually every major orchestra in the world, Bell continues to maintain engagements as soloist, recitalist, chamber musician, conductor, and music director of the Academy of St. Martin in the field. Now, I don't know what much of that means, but I take it means he's rather good. And 15 years ago, he embarked on an experiment with the Washington Post newspaper, whereby he undertook some anonymous busking at the entrance to a metro station in Washington, D.C. So he played his $3.5 million violin for approximately 40 minutes during rush hour. And from the 1,097 people who passed by, he received a grand total of $52. And only seven people stopped and listened for any length of time, with only one person actually recognising him and saying hello at the end. Just one. For a man of such talent and an estimated net worth of over $15 million, we might have expected a little bit more. Why is that? Why was he just ignored? Well, perhaps someone like me and wouldn't be able to tell a good violin playing from bad, let alone a virtuoso genius. Maybe others were not expecting anything other than just an average busker that day. Perhaps others just zone out as they always do when they're on their daily commutes. But I think it's an interesting story because it reminds us of how easy it can be to miss the value of something or someone, even when they're right in front of us. And so as Christmas 2022 is nearly upon us, it's possible that we do that too when it comes to Jesus. We don't see the wood for the trees. We don't see the Christ for Christmas. And yet these verses are another reminder that Jesus is the great treasure, the rare find of unspeakable value that sparkles in plain view. My prayer is that this Christmas would be the one where we discover afresh that Jesus is no dusty antique, plant pot or paperweight, but is the person of priceless worth, the humble Son of God incarnate, who came to save each one of us. Coming up on the screen now are some words from a carol composed by John Rutter that the choir will now sing for us. The darling of the world is come, and fit it is we find a room to welcome him.
Oh.
Well, that brings our carol service to a close for this year. We've been singing about Jesus. We've been hearing about Jesus. If you're here this evening and wondering how it all fits together, well, we'd love to help you with that. You'll see on the back of the service sheet, there's an advert for a course called Hope Explored. It's just a three-week course. It involves watching a video and a discussion. And it's, as it says, it's really to help people understand more about what the Christian faith is about, more about who Jesus is and what he's done for us. If you'd like to know more about that, then details are there on the back. We've got a service on Christmas Day here at 10 o'clock in the morning. You'd be very welcome to join us for that. And I do hope you'll stick around this evening. We've got mulled wine and mince pies will be served in the church building immediately after the service. So please do stick around if you can. But let me now close the service with a final prayer. Let's bow our heads. May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this night and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Amen.